again off of play action. Throwing deep, and he's got a man out there, Hill! Greg Hill on the tip, and it's a touchdown! Holy cow!
Bias from outside, and he got it. Lynn Bias with 29.
Oh, my!
And he made the steal and a jam! What a play by Bias! Holy cow!
Down to 5 seconds. Simpkins has to force it up, take it away. He got it back!
Progressively worse as the songs went on.
Guess who's back again. He's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, guess who's back.
Larry's back,
Larry's back.
Guess who's back. That's right, the Wolfpack is back. The Wolfpack. Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and Larry France back together again. The boys are back in town, reunited, and it feels so good.
That was awesome. Me and Paul had not heard that new remix version. I love it.
Yeah.
Starting with the late great Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy.
Wow, Paul. That is a pull. Not many people are even going to pull Thin Lizzy. Let alone lead singer.
Come on, Phil man. I'm a bass player, dude. Like you, that guy's a god. He's the king, man. He's the king. And I tell you what, I mean, I feel kind of like, you know, like Sugar Ray Leonard or Floyd Mayweather. I mean, I had like a 3-week retirement here. I mean, this is some bullshit. I mean, you guys like, you know, Jeff has to like pull the heavy card. He's like, yeah, well, I don't know. What if we get Larry back? And it's like, fuck. All right. Well, what am I supposed to say to that?
I knew I'd get you back too. Like, it was not easy to pull. And it wasn't easy to get him out of retirement either.
Well, you know, and I, like I said, having hosted this for a couple, you know, year and a half, couple years now, like I feel Larry's pain, man. I mean, you guys think this is just a bunch of dudes sitting around, you know, bullshitting. Nope. I mean, it takes some work to get this thing together and to prep it and to like somewhat sound like you have an idea as to what the hell you're talking about. And, yeah. And I tell you what, being able to come back and know that I just get to sit here and emote for like an hour and, you know, cry and scream and everything else. That's great. I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, I have to say that I feel hashtag blessed to have both of you guys back, two of my greatest supporters and allies and friends throughout this whole journey. So I got to say thank you for both of you guys rejoining and you know, getting this thing, getting the Wolfpack back together. I'm really happy about it.
Oh, Jeff's going to make me.
Hopefully your listeners are too.
Jeff's gonna make me tear up at like minute four.
About ready to pull out some Lion King. Can you feel the love tonight?
I don't know. Can I feel my bottle of Johnny Black, Larry? We're gonna get to that.
We are gonna get to that, and all we right. did talk about it last week. I know you listened to the show. We'll talk
I did.
But before we do that, one thing that I thought was really funny, say I just said, I'm so mad at myself right now.
Yeah, you got to get back into practice, dude.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, come on with the ums already, dude. That's just
the intro.
Seriously, you can watch the number of live listeners drop off every time Larry says yeah. And you know that's going to bother the shit out of him for like weeks.
Oh, amateur hour. Every time I listen back and I hear the ums, like, you know, I mean, I get these creepy, crawly things under my skin. I just want to peel my skin off.
Anyway. You don't realize how much people say those until you start transcribing interviews. Oh, Mike Loxley says, you know, at least 47,000 yeah. times in each interview.
Yes.
See, Larry, you're just like Mike Loxley. Boom, done.
Twins.
Confidence problem solved.
I would love to join in and help coach the Maryland football team. I could do stats for them and do some analytics.
A couple weeks ago, I might have thought you'd be a better defensive coordinator than we currently have, but that's changed a little bit over time.
You could definitely replace Special K. I think that would be a good that would be a good role.
Larry has that energy, though. I mean, I'll give him that. Like you need that energy. Special K, for whatever drives that guy to do that thing, and don't get me wrong, I hate it, but the guy shows up, and he looks like he means it. I mean, I'll give him that much.
Year after miserable year.
Yep.
I know his real name. I'm not going to say it on the air. I got his contact info, was going to get him on the show back in the day, and yeah, Paul wouldn't let me. Yeah, he wouldn't let me. I'm like, this is Special K. He's a Maryland icon. Why wouldn't we? No, just no.
Why would you even ask him, though?
Yeah,
it's football stuff. You guys said the same thing when I had Mia Khalifa lined up. I had her literally lined up with her agent ready to come on. And you're like,
I mean,
what would we ask her?
There are a lot more things you could ask her than Special K.
But it doesn't matter.
But even so, I don't want Mia Khalifa's like take on the 4-3. You know,
I do.
Like,
Come on. I would love to hear her take.
Dude, you're just whiffing on the audience there. I feel
no.
They wanted her. They were they were all over me.
I got vetoed on Mia Khalifa too. And we just went on a long tangent. Probably partially my fault. Usually it is. But in the intro, we played the Thin Lizzy that you talked about. I have a clip of a med singing it. Listen to this.
I was a back in pain. I was a back in pain.
Oh, my God.
That was a med singing that in one show. Yeah. And as you know.
That's terrible.
I recorded everything. Anytime anybody sang anything. Oh, hang on. We got Paul singing. This is how we do it. Remember that, Paul? Hang on.
Oh, yeah. That was actually good, though.
How we do it.
This is how we do it.
I did the whole song.
I was in key.
You sound like a robot.
Key. You were in key.
It was like the auto-tune version.
Damn it! I said again. Okay. Len Elmore.
We're gonna spend the whole time just like going back and forth on this.
I know. Len Elmore singing. Hang on. This is pretty good, actually. Hang on.
I'm just a man whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And then there were...
I don't remember that at all.
You don't?
No, I don't remember that.
Really?
I think I do kind of.
A lot of episodes.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, it's been, you know, what, 6.5 years? Like,
I think more.
I didn't really put that together till like I was doing my little retirement speech, and then I was like, "Oh shit, we've been doing this since like 20."
And it's full circle because Larry bugged the hell out of me to start the show, and I had to bug the hell out of him to come back and fire it up again.
Wait! I do not recall bugging the hell out of you to start the show. I wrote to Paul and I said, "Hey, Paul, I really want to do a podcast. I have two ideas. One."
Yeah, it was going to be a soccer thing, right?
No. You email me every day, like, please, Mr. Herman.
Yes.
Mr. Herman.
We were going to do a soccer podcast, and we were going to do it because I was huge into MLS, and Paul was more into European. He does like MLS, too, but more into European. And so we were going to have kind of those two angles, and that was going to be one idea we had. And the other one was, the other one I'd really love to do is Inside Maryland Sports Radio Show and get Jeff and all the guys And I asked you, when you said yes immediately, so stop with the begging you, please.
No, there were years of begging and pleading. Oh. That soccer show would have had many ones of listeners, though. You guys should have
tens of listeners. Tens.
I know, tens of listeners. We definitely did it the right way. One thing that I did, which I used to do in the introductions, was to come up with a nickname for Paul. I went back and listened to the very last show we did together, which was episode 142, back in October of 2018. And I came up with a name for Paul this show, Bad Parent, Creepy Paul Douglas. Do you remember why?
I probably said something inappropriate about one of those female golfers that you were into for a while.
Sort of. The bad parent part was because we got hate mail. Do you remember that? The guy emailed.
Yes, that guy was like really happy with the curse words.
He said we were bad parents cursing on the air.
Yep.
And it got kind of heated.
I remember that. He was really not like really bothered by it. Like,
because there's so many kids listening to a Maryland sports podcast.
Yeah. It's a very, very niche, young person market.
The creepy part is because our favorite waitress from the Concrete Cowboy came up, Madison Graziati.
Your favorite waitress.
You guys call me creepy for hitting on her, in addition to lusting after the female golf team, which I don't. I just like to talk about them on the show because I like to give them their fair share of airtime. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you were just obsessed with that, like, Vong Fumi lady, because she had a fucking ass last name.
Juliet Vong Fumi. Yes, Juliet.
First off, Larry, you were creepy, and you still remember her name, so that's proof. But
your wife was literally there.
That's his wife was there while he did it and was cool with it, so that kind of reverses it and takes him back in the other direction, back to even. Cancels out the creepiness.
Yeah.
But he's got that kind of, swag.
There was absolutely no chance of anything ever happening. I wasn't seriously doing it. Come on, it was a joke. But the reason I remember her name is because of this.
This is Madison Graziati, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
Kaboom! Right there.
That was a lot of fun.
The man did his prep work tonight, man. He's got all the.
Yeah, you can tell he's a little giddy. He's been sitting around all week kind of picking out his spots.
We need Maryland football not to crash and burn so he can save that energy.
Well, Jeff, can you break any news on the practice scenario while we're sitting here, or are you still waiting around?
So as of like 15 minutes ago, there was still no word of a practice. So it's looking a little sketchy, I think. As of yesterday, I felt like game was going to happen and earlier today, and it still could. If they don't practice tonight, obviously you'd have to practice tomorrow. The question is, even if you would let it get to that point without canceling once you're at Wednesday of the game week, which maybe they will, who knows? I don't know. This is like unprecedented situation. There's nothing to compare it to, but the last I heard literally 10 minutes ago, there was no word. I know some rumor popped up where they were practicing at Coalfield House at 8 p.m. I was told that if they were going to practice, they would find out around 7 p.m. and practice from 8 to 9:30, which I think is accurate. But the other part about it actually being like set to start, I have not confirmed yet. Could happen, but as of 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago, somebody who would know said that there hadn't been any communications on that.
All right, but we if you're listening, like if we get that information, we will be able to pass that on, I imagine, as we're going on.
Yes, and if you're listening on Wednesday to the recorded version of this show, just throw all this out the window because there'll probably have been like 5 updates since then.
Right.
Yeah, someone in the chat room actually said practicing cool tonight, but they're probably just going on the same rumor that you were just talking about.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like I should find out if it's going down. So who knows? That might happen while we're recording, but it's still very much up in the air. So for their sake, hopefully they get it in because as we've discussed and everybody knows, this might be the most winnable game left on the schedule, and to get off to a 3-1 start, considering everything where the expectations were, that would be one of the most shocking developments in Maryland football since I've been covering it, for them to do that in a year when a lot of people, I know people even in college, people in the program, were had some concerns about winning zero or one games. I'm getting ahead of ourselves with all this, but you know, they really need to get this game in. You know, after that, you have Indiana. Obviously, Michigan's not as good as you thought they were. Not even close, but still, this is a chance to really continue that momentum. So, anyways, I think we'll find out, you know, soon enough. But as of right now, it's still up in the air.
If they do play, we should probably not talk about names of players, right? But on the board, there's been speculation, and I've seen some names.
Yeah, that's not something I'm too comfortable with. I'll say that I think it's a mix of starters and reserve guys. I know they feel like – I'll say this. I know they feel like they have – if it's just those eight, they still have enough guys to go out there and have a good shot to win. So they're not crippled by it. At the same time, it's not a roster with all kinds of depth when you look at, you know, freshmen playing all over the place and stuff like that. But – as far as I know, you still have your quarterback, so that's the most important thing, right?
I mean, eight guys out of a 44-man two deep is a chunk, but if it's not Taulia, then
– No, that's the key. If it's him, then you're screwed pretty much. Well, maybe not. Who knows what Lance could do?
Yeah.
You know, assuming he's available. But, yeah, as long as you have – as long as you have Tungavailoa, you'd probably be itching to play, you know?
Let me ask you this. I always hear people say Taulia and Tua, Tungavailoa. There's no N. Why are you saying
Tungavailoa? Yeah, I had to train myself to do that. There is a silent N for some reason. Not a silent, we reverse the opposite of a silent.
Yeah,
there's no N, but everybody throws it in there.
The opposite of a silent letter.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It's some sort of weird Hawaiian dialect thing. It took me forever. I still keep saying Taulia when it's Taulia.
Oh, Taulia. Yeah, I do that too.
It's Taulia. Yeah. Taulia.
And Tagovailoa is what I want to say.
Me too.
Looking at it, but it's Taulia Tagovailoa.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can usually count on the broadcast guys to say it right because they get the sheets beforehand that like kind of lay it out phonetically. So
unless you get Matt Millen.
Well, unless you get Matt Millen, works for a lot of statements about broadcast guys.
My goodness.
Or general managers.
He was struggling.
He was struggling, but you could tell he was hurting too, watching how bad Penn State was.
Yeah, he was traumatized trying to hide, but that's any announcer. Len Elmore, I mean, when he does Maryland games, he might as well put on the number one fan foam finger, and I mean, he's an enormous homer.
Yeah, it's pretty bad if it bothers me that he's that much of a homer. It's just like, okay, whoa, tone it down a little bit, buddy.
Although Jay Billis is an exception. I've always felt like he does a good job of not showing his colors, but that's another tangent.
Sometimes it comes through.
Yeah.
It comes through sometimes.
Whenever it gets to like a Coach K thing, he won't stop. But
yeah.
Have you guys read any of the Penn State message boards since last week? I'm sure you have. You've seen it.
Take a glance. There's so much angst and so many threads. I couldn't even like.
This is start to meltdown of epic proportions.
It couldn't happen to a better group of people.
Maryland is the game that broke them because you win a game, you lose a game against Indiana, who's ranked in overtime. Okay, and a bad call, you can kind of justify it. We had some breaks go. Lose to Ohio State. Okay, of course you're favored to lose. Or expected to lose, you lose to Maryland and get your doors blown off. It challenges your perception of who you think you are.
Well, and
for them, anyway.
You know, we've talked about this, and if we're just going to dive right into football, let's just do it. So, part of the issue here that we've always talked about on this podcast since the beginning of time, and you know, isn't brain science that when you have a quarterback, it papers over so many things in college football to the point where it even bleeds over to the defense. I mean, Penn State's defense is better than it looks. I'm just telling you, I know that, and it's going to show through the rest of the year. It's shown at times, shown the second half last weekend. It showed at points in the Maryland game, third quarter, Maryland struggled. That defense is not bad, but Clifford was so garbage for them, and you could just tell like the whole team fell apart watching that guy play. And you know, it looked familiar because it looked like every Maryland team I've seen in the past, you know, 10 years, where you might get a little bit of decent quarterback play and you feel like, oh, well, maybe this time it's different, and it's not different. And then you just watch the whole team fall apart. Whereas Maryland is living the inverse right now, whereas they're watching Talia go and, you know, play like a Heisman candidate, and it bleeds over to what's really a not good defense. I mean, that, let's be honest, this, our defense this year is not very good. They are playing above their heads the past couple weeks. There's certainly talent there, but they're young. The schemes haven't looked great. It looks like they've moved to a bit more of a 4-3 the past couple weeks. That seemed to have helped, and it kind of works better with their talent situation, especially on the D-line. But I don't think that's a very good defense. I just think that's a confident defense that knows it's got an offense that's going to, like, help. You know, I think part of the reason is, you know, the last couple years – the defense might be pretty good on paper. You know, a guy like Josh Jackson leading the NFL in interceptions right now, he didn't look like that at Maryland. You know why? Because they looked on the other side of the ball and knew that if they didn't put up a goose egg or keep a team under 10 or, you know, 17, they probably weren't going to have a shot to win a lot of games. And I just think you can't really underestimate how much a quarterback matters in college football. And we're, you put Maryland and Penn State next to each other, man, you can just see the differences.
Yeah.
We're also a lot bigger on defense. It's not that Maryland, kind of semi-typical Maryland Big Ten era team where you've got like a 5'11", 290-pound dude at nose tackle like last year, you know, with the kid Olu, or Keandre Jones on the outside, you know, trying to take on tackles. You know, you have some legit size. You have now in the middle now at 330, and the other JUCO kid, Mokite, who's been pretty good at times. So I think that's a big part of it too, is Loxley's managed, especially with the JUCO guys. They're not going to get, you know, they might not have as much talent and definitely not as much as high recruiting rankings as a Penn State, but for the first time, they've got legit Big Ten size at a lot of spots.
They might start getting recruiting rankings as big, as good as Penn State.
Yeah, that they were ahead, I think, of Penn State, and then Marcus Bradley decommitting dropped the class, I want to say like 10 spots. That would took a, along with some other schools getting commits and passing them, but that took,
there was a bit of a log jam there between like 20 and 30. So like,
yeah, so they're right around, last I checked, I think they were 30 maybe, which, you know, is solid, not quite as high as it looked like it would be at the beginning, but obviously it's not done yet.
Someone in the chat room posted a link. Paul Tannenholtz posted a link to a SaturdayDownSouth.com, a video telling you how to pronounce Talia Tagovailoa. So there you go. Or maybe it's
and,
two.
And what does it say?
I mean, I can't watch it right now. It's a video. Do you want me to play the video?
Let's watch it together.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, that was it. That was a joke. Don't do that.
Probably from somebody at LSU saying, "Hey, we wish you were still here. We stink now." what do you think happened with
how do you? I mean, they have a lot of young guys on the team. You know, a lot of guys left after last year. A lot of juniors, seniors.
How long is the prelude?
They have a class that's, I mean, pretty much freshman.
This is not on topic.
Dirty. So I mean, you kind of got to give them time to soak it in and to get adjusted to college level.
Your time at LSU, I mean, everybody knows Jarvis was there, Odell was there. Saw both of them on the sidelines for the.
All right, forget that.
Yeah, that's it. That was not it.
No, it wasn't. But that's what we're supposed to, this is what we forget for trusting the chat room, Paul.
Paul Tannenholtz just rickrolled the shit out of you.
Yeah,
yeah, he did.
Never trust the chat.
Oh, Maryland's class is ranked 26. I stand corrected. They're 26 overall and number 6 in the Big Ten, which is still pretty solid.
Well, there you go. That completely wrong video at least bought Jeff some time to find the recruiting numbers.
Yeah.
Also, Jeff, someone in the chat room said, "What's up?" Maybe it's a friend of yours or something, just to let you know.
What's up, dog?
Jeff doesn't have friends.
I don't know who it is. Someone in the chat room. Maryland's 26, Penn State 32nd. Did you just say that? I don't know. Anyway, Maryland is 6 spots still ahead of Penn State. I don't know what the rest of their
– Are they 32? Wow, that is terrible for Penn State standards. Yeah. 32. I mean, that's – they've been top 10, top 15 every year for a while.
And they were getting
pretty early classes, right? Like they would load up early in the summer, and I don't think they were one of those like that would sit back and get a bunch of guys in February.
There you go, 32 and number 8 in the Big Ten. That's really bad by their standards.
Okay, so Paul Tannenholtz has posted another video. He said, "Well, he said, Paul, you didn't scroll down far enough."
Hey, I didn't scroll nothing, man. That was
me. It was me. Should we try the second video?
No, we should not try the second
video. Give it 5 seconds. Give it 5 seconds if they don't pronounce
it. We'll give it 5 seconds. He said it's Tua pronouncing his own name, so hang on. Let's see this here. Oh, no.
Number 8 in the Big Ten. That's really bad by their standards.
Okay. Sorry. I just
Wait, that was me.
Yes, it was. I misclicked. So hang on.
Man.
Here we go.
Live radio.
There it was. Here we go.
Tua. Tongue Vilo.
No,
so his name, Tongue Vilo. Did he say tongue?
He said what?
Oh,
he clearly said Tongue Vilo.
Oh, tongue.
Just to make it easier, say tongue first, and then you say O-H-O-V-I-V-A-E-L-O-A.
Tongue Viloa. See? Like the word tongue, and he spelled it out.
Larry, frankly, I'm extremely disappointed that you do not have audio of Johnny trying to say Tongue Viloa, because it's got to be gold. I haven't heard it, but it's got to be gold.
Well, look, I have not listened to Maryland radio broadcasts in I don't know how many years so badly so that I texted Tim Strachan last week thinking he was still on the radio crew. And he's like, dude, I don't do the Maryland games anymore. I'm like, oh.
And this isn't I don't think this is even his first year.
Yeah.
Off the job. So, I think that was like last year or 2 years ago.
It's been years since I listened to the Maryland Radio Network. I watched the games, and the beautiful thing about being away for 2 years is when they start sucking, I just turn it off. Now I feel again, well, there wasn't a game this week, so it didn't matter. If they had started getting blown up by Ohio State, I probably would have stayed watching it and suffered. So, because I knew there was a chance that we were going to do this. It hadn't been confirmed until I think.
Dude just posted in the chat, Johnny hasn't given the score in 15 years.
Poor Johnny, man. He's a legend, but
he's a legend.
It's time, man.
He's a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, who's going to take over for him? I think I know, but I'm not going to say it.
I know who would like to.
Yeah, we all know who would like to. Another former guest.
Who's that?
No. Are you talking about Naki?
Naki's already got the job next to him.
He's the Sheehan. Color.
Sheehan wants that job, man.
Sheehan, or Steve Buckhantz. One of those two.
Oh, that'd be good. Dagger!
That's what I've heard.
Buckhantz is a great call. Like,
well, that would be a
split them up. Awesome, right? Yeah, split them up. Like,
turn the TV volume off and listen to the radio if he was doing the games.
Absolutely.
Hey, James Graham is going to join in Zoom, supposedly in a couple minutes here. We don't have a lot of control over it on Zoom here. Whenever they try to log in, I will admit them into our Zoom call, and we'll jump over to that. We have about 2 minutes. Before that, let me ask you one question. Is it technically possible for Maryland to win the national championship?
No.
I don't think so either. If they go undefeated, I don't think.
Nope. No way, especially without Ohio State on the schedule now.
Right, that's why, yeah. I agree.
There's no chance.
I must admit I have not looked into that.
They could go 6-1. Well, here's the caveat, Paul. I heard that the Big Ten is considering moving the championship back so they can do makeup games for precisely that reason, because they wouldn't want Ohio State to get screwed out of a spot, right?
Yeah, I mean they're going to – one way or another, Ohio State is going to win the East. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, with football, if they ended the season right now, I would be super happy. I mean, to me, this whole season has just been basically spring practice that they didn't get this year, right? I wasn't upset after Northwestern. I wasn't upset after the first half against Michigan State or Minnesota. Everybody else was. I wasn't. I don't care. I mean, this is a young team in the middle of like a 4-year rebuild that is starting to look good and pieces are coming together and it's ahead of schedule. But like if they go out and they play Michigan State and lose, whatever.
House money.
I mean, I don't I just worry a little bit about reverting to the mean a little bit and just like not. It's such a weird year and everything's crazy. You know, I just wouldn't be super upset if things fell back a little bit, and I don't want to get like too excited for wins over good programs, but teams that were also winless.
But Paul, the last 3 years, they've had great starts with really big wins, two over Texas, which were amazing. And the blowout of Syracuse, they were ranked in the beginning. Everybody thought they were going to be good. They weren't. But still, the time it looked amazing. Then they go out and lose, and it starts this thing, this trend for the rest of the season. If they lose to Michigan State, then they've got Indiana and Michigan, which are potential, maybe probable losses, you might say.
Yep.
That could be – it could be the same thing again.
Yep. I mean, it's September. I mean, it's late September if this were a normal season, right? Maryland's had a couple good wins against teams that we thought were good, but we don't know. We don't know that Minnesota and Penn State are good. There's a better chance they're not good.
We do know. We do know that they're not good. They stink.
Yeah.
Especially Minnesota is horrendous.
Right.
Penn State has talent, but they're not good. Minnesota is bottom three in the Big Ten with Illinois. And maybe Rutgers. Rutgers is probably actually better than Minnesota. But, yeah, they – P.J. Fleck, totally unpredictable that he was going to be a one-year flash in the pan, right?
Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
That guy, man. What's the one – the worst one that I heard? He's got all these little quips that he uses and these sayings. The worst one, the one I hate the most, he says, family – forget about me. I love you. Ugh. It just makes me want to throw up every time I hear him say any one of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Tony Robbins thing, fake Tony Robbins thing going. And he's, you know, there's people who are like douchebags and they don't really realize it. And then there's people who are huge douchebags and they embrace it and like shove it in your face. And he's the second guy.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that Franklin thing when he tweets every week, like the next team they're playing a million times in a row. Cause
yeah.
He's so focused. It's like, fuck
Franklin's alter ego.
It's so fake. It's so fake.
Yeah.
But they're really bad. So, but the thing is you just beat, as cliche as it is, you beat who's in front of you. And there's really no good teams in the Big Ten outside of like three: Ohio State, Wisconsin, Indiana. You know, actually, no, Northwestern is good.
Northwestern is pretty good, which is a bit of a nod to that first game being a bit of a
– Yeah, exactly. That kind of, you know, points out that wasn't as bad as it looked. But
it was pretty bad.
They should be Michigan State. If this game happens and they're even remotely healthy, I mean, Vegas, what are they, 3-4-point favorites?
Well, they started at – Maryland started at 3, and it jumped up to 6.5 really
jumped
quick.
Up to 6.
I don't know where it is now.
And they weren't – you know how the point spreads work. They're not dummies. They're not going to set that. They have a pretty good idea what the situation is, you know. Just put the number there even with what Maryland's going through.
Right.
So –
Yeah, I mean, all that's right. And, it's entirely possible Maryland is actually just ahead of the curve, and having – Talia back there really does paper over some depth issues and holes at certain positions. I just think like if Maryland doesn't, you know, if Maryland finishes off 3-5 or 4-4, like that's still okay. Like that's still probably ahead of where they should be. And it probably gives Locks enough to sell the recruiting class to finish this class off and start off for a big one next year. Like I feel like if any year there's a year to just kind of sit back and have a little perspective and not hang on every win or loss, this is probably the one. And, you know, you just kind of – you hope that they'll be able to go out and steal, you know, a couple against some teams that maybe they don't normally beat. And that's great. But if they don't, like, that's – it's okay. That's all I'm saying. It's all right.
They're way ahead of schedule. I mean, and if you get this game in and win it, and then you get that win late against Rutgers, 4 wins. Can you imagine someone telling you before this season? Somebody asked me before the season, I said, if they win 4 games, you got to build a statue of Loxley outside the stadium. Yeah. I didn't know at the time how good Talia would be or, you know, how bad the Big Ten would be and all this other stuff. But still, 3-4 wins is huge, huge for recruiting and, you know, everything. So,
yep.
Still waiting for James Graham to join us. While we are, we did get a question in the chat room for Jeff. I'm not sure how much you're going to get into this, but Tim Wynn would like to know what's the real story with Marcus Bradley. And for those who don't know, he was a 4-star, I think 90-rated defensive tackle who had committed to Maryland. He decommitted and has since had some sketchy things on his social media regarding Maryland, shall we say. So someone wants to know, Tim Wynn wants to know, what's the real story with Marcus Bradley? How much do you want to get into that?
I mean, I know what he told Maryland was that he's not sold on the playing style of the defensive line. He feels like he wants to go somewhere where you're constantly trying to get upfield, get after the quarterback, and not be kind of a placeholder taking on blocks to free up the linebackers. He felt like it was that way. That is somewhat their style. They've moved away from it a little bit the past game and a half, at the last quarter of Minnesota and against Penn State, putting four guys up front more often. I don't know if that's really true or how much it was. It seems like maybe someone was in his ear, or maybe for whatever reason he just kind of fell out of love. I mean, he's a kid, so you can expect these things, but he's, you know, some guys like the attention, and when he announced his decision the first time, he's the guy who announced he was deciding between Tennessee, Ohio State, and LSU, even when I knew and people knew, some people knew it was Maryland, and it was just kind of one of those, you know, misdirection plays just for fun, that kind of thing. And then he's tweeted a few things about Maryland. So long story short, I don't know of any like real sinister reason or any big scoop about it. I know he said it was because of that. I think, you know, for whatever reason. And the weird thing is he was the kind of ringleader of their recruiting class. He was the guy who I think organized their little group chat among these recruits and stuff like that. So that's always strange. But actually, what's also funny about it is I had talked to him about a month ago, and he mentioned that this kid who's committed to Florida was talking to them about how he might want to flip to Maryland, and how they were all talking amongst themselves about how they would never do that. They would never decommit. And that quote was literally a month ago. But that's recruiting. We've seen that story a million times. And good news for Maryland is, you know, even though it hurts to lose a guy like that, they still have two of the top 20 defensive tackles in the country committed, which is pretty good. So they just need to replace him now.
Still not bad. And I saw that the replacement may be a JUCO guy who's pretty highly rated. That might actually be better. Is that better to say? Because you're spreading out the years. We just got James. James just tried to join, so let me add him in. Hang on here. James, welcome to the show. James, you are a 6'8 small forward, committed to Maryland. You did that pretty recently. What was it that led you to commit to Maryland? What was it about Maryland that you like?
So with Maryland, you know, it was just the fact that like early on in my recruitment process, you know, I had a couple of schools, but you know, kind of before I blew up on the national stage, they were there, you know, and I'm big on loyalty. And, you know, I feel like, you know, since they saw it before everybody else did, or because they took time to evaluate me, you know, that I felt like, you know, I kind of owed it to Coach Turge and the staff to go there and, you know, to play for him. And, you know, also just the fact that, like, early on my recruitment, you know, was doing majority of it. But once Turge hopped on it, you know, and he started recruiting me too, and then I got started getting calls from everybody on the staff and build a relationship with most people on the staff, you know, I felt like it was just the right place for me.
James, I know you had that last minute kind of wavering where Auburn was putting on the full court press and you pushed back the announcement for a day or two. How close of a call was that for Maryland, and how hard were those guys working, Turge and Bino, to get you back off the ledge and get you committed?
Yeah, so a couple days before I committed, you know, Bruce Pearl made a push. You know, I got a lot of respect for him. He has a lot of ties in Milwaukee. So pretty much everybody I ever dealt with, you know, was just telling me, you know, that's the right move for me. They know he'll take care of me. And, you know, as a result of that, I kind of succumbed to peer pressure a little bit. I listened to some people in my ear. You know, I mean, I'm a 17-year-old kid, 16 at the time. So, you know, I was just making, you know, decisions as I went. So, you know, when they made that push, and you know, they were just simply, you know, they were telling me the same stuff that most schools tell, you know, I mean, I mean, some kids, you know, get the same thing from every school, you know, it just comes down to, you know, which school is the right fit. But, you know, they were telling me they want to use me as a mismatch nightmare, get me on the perimeter, get me in the post, you know, just the same thing everybody else said, but, you know, and it scared Turgeon, those guys, a little bit. I know it did. You know, I mean, they, Turgeon, I never seen him like that either. You know, right when I told him Auburn was making LA push, he like turned into like a mastermind. Like he pulled out so many plays, and I can go back and like my text and stuff. It's like this man sent me like paragraphs. He sent me like all type of, you know, videos and things of that nature that he sees me doing, and you know, just really confirming that Maryland was right place for me.
Was Bino in your backyard in the sleeping bag for those 48 hours?
He probably. Bino was huge in that too. Bino called me every day, you know, before that. But Bino started calling me like 3 times a day during that. Like those couple of days, I was wavering. He called me like 3-4 times a day.
Good for Bino.
Yeah, he said he was. This was his saying. He was like, "I want you to see my ugly face when you wake up and before you go to bed."
I'm not sure if that's going to convince you to come or not. So, James, you mentioned it earlier. Coach Turgeon has a pretty good track record with these guys who might not have been super highly recruited when they were younger, but really blew up on the scene their sophomore years, especially. Kevin Herter was like that. Aaron Wiggins was like that. So what kind of impact do you feel like you can have at Maryland off the bat? And what's Maryland's coaches been telling you about what they feel like you can do when you show up next year?
Yeah, so, you know, just the thing about Maryland was just the fact that I know how strategic Coach Turgeon is. And, you know, I just know that he puts players like me in great places, in great positions to score the basketball and to be effective. You know, I watch a lot of film with him at, A&M with Middleton. And, you know, just I feel I play similar to him in a little bit. But, you know, just like when, you know, he put Middleton in the post, he put him in at the perimeter, he let him go to work off pick and rolls, he let him set the screen sometimes, he come off the screen sometimes, just being able to be effective at that, you know, mismatch nightmare type of combo forward type of position, or that 1-4 type of position or whatever, you know, just being comfortable there and you know, playing for a coach who's done it, you know, who's produced, you know, professional players at that position, you know, just kind of, you know, made it a whole lot easier. But I just love how strategic Turge is, and the way he, you know, he maps things out for you, and how, you know, how well he gets to know his players and where their strengths and weaknesses at, so he can utilize their strengths in the game.
We are speaking with James Graham, 6'8" small forward from Wisconsin, committed to the University of Maryland. James, what do you think of your incoming classmates? Yeah, there's two guys right now. First of all, what do you think of those guys? And then who else might you bring along with you?
Yeah, so first and foremost, those dudes are my guys. Like, I took it upon myself to get us talking, right? So, like, I put us in a group chat. But Bino did that first, but, you know, I kind of just kept it going. You know, I feel like my character is like that. But I took those guys, and we like, FaceTime and stuff, and they super cool. Like, you know, I'm trying to get used to their lingo and stuff they got, you know, both Baltimore differently than we do on the Midwest. But, you know,
do you know what Old Bay is, James?
No, I don't. I couldn't tell.
Are you saying Duke, like Duke? Have you learned that yet from them?
No, I'm still hearing some. The word I'm hearing now is, I believe, bops or something.
You know what that? if you want to get the full Baltimore accent, you got to ask one of those guys to say Choco Taco. And see what.
I'm from Baltimore. I can go into the whole accent really well.
Oh, yeah, I hear it. So, I want to say Choco Taco.
Choco Taco. See how they say Choco Taco. It'll tell you everything.
No, I got to do that. But back to the question at hand, you know, just, you know, like Julian for sure. Like when I first, like when I was first committing, you know, they played a big factor in me committing to Maryland. But, like with you, you know, for you, it was more of a, like, I was like, at first I was like, I wasn't necessarily amazed by what I saw of him, you know, but like recently he just posted like something a couple of days ago, and I'm like, wow, that man been in the lab. Like he putting it on the floor, he finishing above the rim, he hitting pull ups. I was like, wow, he looked like a whole different player. I love how he played, you know, currently. And then with Ike, you know, me and Ike got close quick. Like Jew was, it took a little longer for me to, kind of get through to Jew, but Ike is very similar to me. And, you know, we kind of gang up on Jew a little bit, and we kind of tease Julie a little bit because he got a girlfriend, so we messing with him about it. I already can tell that he going to be the odd freshman out. He going to be the one who, like, our dad. He going to be mature and everything. But, you know, me and Ike got real close. But I'm high on both of them. I love both of their games, how smooth Ike is and how aggressive Jew is. You know, like, they both got different styles, but, you know, it fits both of them very well.
The second part of that question, who you bringing with you? Who else in the class?
Yeah, so I mean, I wanted some people from here to come. Like, I was trying to get Terps to talk to them, but my friends already committed here, you know, and I'm one of those dudes. Like, I kind of got like that mama mentality. Like, I don't really like to make friends on the national scene. Like, the only reason I'm cool with, like, Ike and those guys and Julian is because, like, they're my teammates. But, like, I don't really necessarily like to, like, if I play a dude at AU or something, and then I cook him and we have a good game, we both put up a lot of points, like, that's not going to be a follow for me on Instagram. Like, that's going to be how do I let him do that to me type of thing. Like that's, you know, I don't really like to be friends with people like that. But, I mean, I know it was this kid, Blake Wesley, who they wanted to get. I DM'd him a little bit. I mean, yeah, I saw he put us in his top six, I believe.
Yeah.
Wesley Card at 2, I believe. I don't know how to say his name, but I believe those kids like that. I mean, I try to just, you know, say what's up, but. You know, I feel like, you know, especially that I went through it, I feel like when you drop a list, you pretty much already know where you want to go. Just do it for fame.
So how's that work positionally with you guys that you have coming in the class next year? That's, I assume, if the three of you are on the floor together, that have to be Ike at the 2, you at the 3, Julian at the 4, and then you got to – well, and then you should still have Shoal, or you got to go get another big man at the 5. Yeah. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that sounds perfect to me, man. However, Terps plans on doing it, I know he got something cooking for us. So,
what do you consider yourself, a 3 or a 4? I mean, I know these days there's not much of a difference, obviously.
Yeah, no, I like to say, you know, I like to call myself a .4, but I mean, other than that, I really could care less. You know, I mean, like, and like, that was my problem for a while, is I thought positions mattered. But I mean, honestly, I mean, whatever I need to do to stay on the floor is what I'm gonna do, really.
Hey, James, I'm curious, you know. You've been living this life where you're a high-level recruit and you're getting all this attention, but you're also a 17-year-old kid, your senior year in high school, and all this crazy's going on, man. Like, how are you dealing with that? Like, just, you know, just as a kid trying to live through the pandemic and, you know, get yourself through your last year of high school. That's kind of your last year is like the king on the hill, you know, like how's that working out for you?
Yeah. So just understanding that, you know, like, even like my attitude, I would say, was really bad, like, as a freshman, as a sophomore. But, like, this year, kind of like what you were talking about, like, I know this is my last year on the top. Like this year has caused me to change, like, as a person, you know. And, you know, I understand that, you know, I'm about to, like, the way I'm treating the incoming freshman, or the way I was treated by the seniors, you know, when I was a young, versus the way I treat the freshmen, like, now, like, I treat them totally different. You know, I just understand that this is my last year. And, you know, I understand that, you know, next year I'm going to go to school and whoever's still there, you know, going to bully up on me, kind of how I got done pretty much when I was a sophomore or freshman. But, you know, the pandemic and everything really, it just really allowed me to lock in, really, you know, and I really find it a blessing, you know, just, you know, having that ability to really just focus on my game. So, yeah.
Has it been kind of a situation where you feel like you just get in the lab and just kind of, you know, what you need to work on and you go at it?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's been for me. You know, I understand that offensively, you know, I'm like, if Rankins was just based off offense, I'm pretty sure I'd be up there. But, you know, I understand that defensively is where I need to work, and that's pretty much what I've just been doing the last couple, you know, weeks and months, and just locking in on the, you know, and things of that nature.
James, when we have guests on, we play a game called Fill in the Blank. I'm going to ask you 5 rapid-fire questions. You say the first thing that comes to your head, okay?
All right, for sure.
Okay, your favorite Maryland player of all time is?
Lynn Bias.
Nice.
Excellent answer.
Yeah, so I expect you to go old school. So you just kind of touched on this in the shutdown. You're focusing on your game, but let me just alter this slightly. During the shutdown, your favorite leisure activity is?
Playing video games, probably.
Okay, your favorite pizza topping is?
Pepperoni.
The team that will win the Super Bowl this year is?
Green Bay Packers. Come on, I'll stand up.
That's bold. It's bold.
All right. The number of national championships you will win at Maryland is?
however many years I'm there.
Which is?
I don't know.
He had to try. He had to try.
He's not going
to
pull a Steve Francis and give us the 99%.
All right, James, we ask one more thing of everybody who comes on the show. Could you do us a favor and say, this is James Graham, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
For sure. This is James Graham, and you are listening to IMS Radio.
Thank you for joining us, James. James, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Good times.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You guys have a great day.
All right, be good.
So,
thanks. That was James Graham.
He's got a personality, man.
And not only that, so together. How about when we were going off topic and he's like, and to get back to the question.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
He's like, y'all Bamas need to get back on the focus.
The 17-year-old telling the 40-year-olds what to do.
like, let me handle this question real quick, and then y'all can talk about some dumb shit.
Yeah. Really, really cool kid. I love his personality.
We've done a lot of interviews of recruits, and that was one of the better ones. That was really
good. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this class, man. It's not like a super stacked, highly rated class, but it just feels like one of those where, like, you're getting good pieces, good kids. So, like, certainly that's what Maryland's going to need, looking at some of their recruiting failures over the last couple of years.
Speaking of his rating, is it 100 or is it 50? What is it? I see it.
24/7.
He got bumped up. Yeah.
24/7 has him at 53.
Okay.
In the composite, he's far lower because either Rivals or ESPN has him way too low. So that's why the difference.
So you'd say he's more like a 50-ish than 100-ish.
Yeah, I mean, not to be a homer, but I think he's in right around that 50 range. He's a really skilled 6'7", 6'8", forward, you know, who can create his own shot. He's not an inside banger or like a crazy athlete, but just really skilled player. So I think, you know, that 50-ish range is pretty accurate. And if you look at the way he blew up over the summer with, you know, Michigan State and Auburn and all these other schools going all out after him, I think that kind of shows it.
It just feels like that same kind of recruitment as Herter and Wiggins, where like Turge found him and was on him early and nobody had scouted him. A lot of the services didn't even have a star ranking on him. And then, you know, all of a sudden you see these flood of offers coming in and you're like, oh crap, can we hold on to him now? You know,
that's exactly what it was. He ended up in roughly the same ranking range as those guys. So, you know, people bash Turge and clearly some of it is with merit. But he can get, you know, and with Bino's help, too, he deserves the credit because a lot of times when it's those cases where they're in early on a guy, it's because he's out there scouting. You know, he loves to scout. I think that's his favorite part of the job. Well, I don't want to speak for him, but he enjoys that. So he's the one who spotted him because he spends a lot of time recruiting that Milwaukee area ever since Diamond Stone. So.
And look, you know, he very, very similar to Gary. Like the couple times that you knew Gary just locked on a kid early, you end up with the Grievous Vasquez's of the world. And
Juan Dixon.
Like, yeah, and just like Turgeon, when Turge finds a kid early and personally locks in on him, that's usually a good sign.
And the best part of the interview, I got my first bumper in 2 years.
There you go.
Yeah, and baby. It's
much, much more relevant than – what was that girl that you had last week, like a Madison. Popcorn vendor or something? What was
No. The two players in the women's soccer team.
That's right.
Yeah, that counts. What are you talking about? You played for the Maryland women's soccer team. They're Maryland athletes.
We got to get you back doing your non-revenue sport updates, speaking of which.
Yeah, I haven't really.
Oh, are there any non-revenue sports happening right now?
Cool. Yeah, good point.
Are they doing
it? No, there's not.
It kind of reminds me of when I went crazy on the basketball team and this happened.
Rashid! Damn it!
You remember that? I
forgot about that. Wow.
The basketball team, and I was trying to get...
Didn't someone who didn't like one of the security people push you away from
it? It was like Bino or something, wasn't it?
Oh, he went to Jacksonville or came from Jacksonville, the coach.
Cliff Warren.
It was Cliff, yeah. He was shooing them away from me, and I was trying to get all these bumpers from him. And
He thought you were like some sleazy agent.
I was like, Rashid, come say it. And he's like, and Cliff is like, hey, let's go, guys. And he's like, sorry, sir, I got to go.
Sorry, like, sir. Rashid,
damn it. That's how that happened. All right. I have a game for you guys called Will He or Won't He? And this has to do with potential record-breaking terps. So I'm going to alternate you guys. I got four of these. We'll start with Jeff. And we'll start with Rakim Jarrett. Will he break Jermaine Lewis's receiving yardage record? Let me give you a little stats. He's got 213 yards. Jermaine Lewis had 2,932. Rakim could have, potentially, if he stays through his junior year, could potentially have 32 more games if they play this week and the rest of these games and 13 games a year the next 2 years. He would need to average 84.9 or 85 yards a game to do that. That's not that crazy. Will he do that?
I'm going to say no. I mean, those numbers were ridiculous first off because they were in that run-and-shoot style offense. Loxley throws the ball.
Rack thunder.
Yeah, that was that offense where they just chucked it around constantly with Milanovic. And also, I think Jermaine Lewis was a four-year player, or I'm sure actually he was.
But he didn't. He only played 39 games in the 4 years, had some injuries.
No, I think he won't just because, first off, this year he's splitting the catches with a lot of guys, even despite what he did in that last game. And, you know, he's not a guy you look at as a four-year guy, and they're going to have a lot of talent around in the wide receiver corps, so I'm going to say no. I mean, that's just such a high number, and nobody stays 4 years anymore if they're that productive, so I'll say no.
Okay, Paul, will Talia Tagovailoa break Scott Milanovic's career yards from scrimmage record, not passing, yards from scrimmage? Talia has 831 yards currently through three games. Scott Milanovic had 7,111. If Talia stays through only one more year after this, that would be 19 games. He'd need 330 yards from scrimmage per game. Not that crazy when you count in his potential rushing yards. If he stays for two more years, he would only need about 196. And what at that point, you would say, yeah, but what do you think? Yes or no?
I mean, obviously the easy answer is to say no to everything because, you know, they're records for a reason. I think yes. I'm going to say yes only because I do think that he's a guy who probably has a limited NFL future. He's a smaller guy than his brother in stature as well as height and kind of thickness. So I think he'll probably exhaust his college eligibility. And in that case, I think, assuming he's the starter here the whole time, he probably gets it done.
Yeah, because he only needs about 200 yards games, which if he's the starter for the next 2 years after that, he's going to do that.
Right. And, it says something about the history of Maryland quarterbacks that's what we're looking at. I mean, it's not like a super hard thing to do if you're just a productive college starter for 3 years.
Okay. Jeff, will Chance Campbell break Eric Wilson's all-time tackles record? Chance Campbell has 98. Eric Wilson had 481. That seems really far off right now. However, he has a potential 32 games remaining because he has two more years of eligibility after this, should he choose. He would only need 12 tackles per game. He's averaging 11 this year. And there are many Terps throughout history who've averaged that in over the course of his season. Can he do it? Yes or no?
I feel like I'm always automatically cynical on these. I don't know what that says about me, but I don't think so. I think that's a huge number of tackles. You're counting on him to stay healthy, not leave for the NFL, which might have been a ridiculous comment a few months ago, but he looks amazing this year. I mean, he might be first team all Big Ten, and then expect him to come back an extra year. Everything would have to go right, and that's such a big number, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that was the biggest stretch for me, I think. But worth consideration, I think. Okay, Paul, Mike Loxley has six career wins. Curly Bird had 88. I can do the math for you. If he stays 10 more years, he's got to win 8.2. If he stays 12 more years, it's 6.8, and you can figure out the range from the rest of there. But that's about where, as long as he'd have to stay. Will he break Curly Bird's all-time wins record at Maryland?
Well, first of all, there's no way that that's the all-time wins record because Fritch has more wins than that, doesn't he?
Nope. 73?
Okay. I'm going to say no because while I do think I do think that if Lox can be successful here, he'll be a lifer. I don't think he's going to, you know, even if he puts up big win numbers here, I don't think he's going to go to a better job. I think this is where he wants to be.
He'll never leave.
Yeah, I really don't think he's that guy. But we just don't know whether that's going to happen yet. And projecting a football head coach here, you know, more than 4 years is a bit of a daunting business given the last decade. So I'll say no for that reason. But that's only because of the uncertainty about whether he can pull this off. I think if anybody can pull it off, it's Mike, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was trying to find Ralph Friedgen's win total for you here. I'm Googling it as we speak.
I think it's in the 70s. That does sound about right.
Yeah, because he was only there for, was it 9 years?
2000
10.
To 2010, yeah. 10 years.
10 years. I'm seeing here. Paul, 75. Like, 75 games.
Okay, so it was close.
Yeah.
And you said, Paul, you wouldn't want to bet on a coach staying in Maryland for 4 years. How many guys other than Fridge have lasted more than 5 years? I don't remember how long Duffner and Vanderlinden were.
Four or five each, yeah.
So, yeah, nobody's lasted more than 5 years except Friedgen in the past 25 years.
Yes, yeah, really
maybe since, even more than that.
Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross wasn't that many years either. He left and went to, I think he went to San Diego first.
Or Chargers.
Yeah. Georgia Tech.
Won the Super Bowl.
Was it Georgia Tech and then San Diego or San Diego, Georgia Tech?
I think he went to the Chargers and then he went to Georgia Tech afterwards.
Yeah, probably. That's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. I might have that wrong. I don't know.
That's why the wins total is 88, because no one stayed for that long, even now that there's more games per year. Anyway, I've got one more game for you guys, either or. We're going to start with Paul. Maryland plays this week and finishes the rest of the season healthy, or basketball has a full season.
Is this what I would prefer? This is my preference?
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I mean, look, I'm a football guy at heart, and basketball is just gonna be weird, man. Like, there's basketball. I think almost more than football. I think basketball kind of depends on the fan situation and, like, you know, the atmosphere, especially college basketball, because the basketball isn't very good, and it hasn't been very good for quite a while. So I'm gonna go with football. I think there's a lot of reason to have some hope in football, and I think the basketball team might be better than the doomsayers are saying, but they're not going to be very good. So I would go with football if I had to choose one.
Okay, Jeff, Talia Tagovailoa stays for two more seasons after this year, or he leaves after next year, but Caleb Williams commits.
I like how quickly you learned to pronounce his name, by the way, Larry. You're back on your game right now.
He's learning quickly.
He's back on his grind. That's a really good one. I think you probably take Talia for the final year because you know what you have in him, and Caleb Williams is not a proven commodity. But then on the other hand, you're looking at, what, 5 straight years of potentially elite quarterbacks. I think, yeah, you know what? I changed my mind. You got to go with Caleb Williams because it's assuming he's somewhere in that same stratosphere as Tagovailoa, then if you lose him, then you get 3 more years of a similar kind of guy. So I would say.
Or two.
Or if he redshirts. But yeah, you would do that. I don't think you're going to have to make that decision because I think he's pretty solid with Oklahoma. But I think you would have to take that just to have all those consecutive years of elite quarterbacks in Maryland, where usually they're roughly as good as me, you know.
okay. I definitely would go with Caleb Williams because besides the fact that you get the 3 or 4 years of good, assuming he good quarterback play, the other recruiting windfalls from getting Caleb Williams is pretty significant. The other kids that would follow him.
Yeah, that's probably the right answer. But like, I also wouldn't discount the idea of like what a Locksley program could look like in year three of Talia's situation, given the recruiting that can surround that, and maybe a Heisman campaign. Like, there could be a lot of value there. But that's a good hypo.
Okay, Jeff, last one. Paul and I commit to doing IMS Radio for the rest of our lives, or you win $1 million.
I mean, come on.
That's the easiest thing in the world.
Me and Paul, right? $1 million,
I don't give a shit what you guys are doing.
Dude, he wants to be able to feed his kids, man.
I don't even care who's running the Maryland site, let alone doing the podcast.
Okay. $1,000.
I am thrilled that you guys are back, as I mentioned earlier.
All right.
Yeah, what's the number? Yeah, what's the number? That's what I want to know.
By the way,
what's the number?
There's no reason to dabble in such.
10,000? 10, 20?
No, 15? I don't think you guys, I would definitely keep you guys over 10 or 20,000. If it's life-changing money, then, you know, we're going to have to
raise,
and you guys can start your soccer podcast.
By the way, someone
we might just chat, we might just start our soccer podcast anyway, jackass.
Someone in the chat room just said that, being reported elsewhere, they are practicing in Cole tonight. So that would be great news. We don't know that, Jeff. I'm sure you're going to be reporting on that as soon as we end the show, which we are going to do now. It was so good to be back with you guys again, my good friends, Paul Douglas, Jeff Irm, and the Wolfpack back together again. How do we used to end the show? What do we say? Join us on our Facebook group, Inside Maryland Sports Radio. We're on Twitter at IMS Radio. We're on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher. We'll see you guys next week. This is IMS Radio.
Peace out, bitches.
Back in Saturday.